Good afternoon, it's 12 o'clock and welcome to the MoneyWeb at Midday Show. My name is Ryk van die Kerk. And the market, it's not a pretty sight today. The market's lost around 0.6% yesterday. That's on the JSE. It could be partly due to the slight strengthening of the rand this morning. Some hedges are trading down quite strongly, and the rand nearly broke through the 15 rand to the dollar mark this morning, probably due to that. On the corporate front, Attack reported results, and I'll speak to CEO Melt Hamman about the numbers. And then private education group Advitech also announced it acquired a controlling stake in Monash SA for around 343 million rand. Very interesting transaction that. And I'll speak to Simon Brown of Just One Lap in a minute about these and other stories. But first, let's look at the indicators. The JSE All Share trading down 1.17%, currently standing at 56,050 points. Resources being hammered down 2%, industrials down 1.5%, financials virtually flat, which is probably a good result. The gold index down 2.75%. On international markets, the FTSE 100 trading down 0.7%, DAX down 0.5%, while the CAC 40 also down 0.2%. Earlier in Southeast Asia, the Nikkei gained 1.26%, Shanghai lost 0.2%, and Hang Seng also down around 0.8%. Let's look at individual shares. Assore has gained 5.6%, RCL up 2.4%. Netcore gaining nearly 2%, Dis-Chem up 1.4%, and Mr. Price also 1% stronger. On the downside, the list is dominated by commodity stocks. Northam down 5.5%, Exxaro down 4.2%, Montag 4% down, Anglo Gold 3.3%, and Goldfields down 2.7%. Billiton also is trading down 2.6%, Harmony and Quilter down 2.5% each. Naspers trading down 2.4%. Let's look at the currencies. The rand is trading at 15 rand 10 cents to the US dollar. It traded down to around 15 rand and 4 cents earlier today. Against the pound, the rand is trading at 19 rand 68 and 17 rand 52 against the dollar. The euro is trading at $1.15 against the dollar. Against the dollar, the pound is trading at $1.30, and Bitcoin is standing at $6,338 or 99,500 rand. Gold is trading at $1,193, platinum at $787, Brent crude another 0.5% higher on $77.58. while the R186 is at 9.21%. Simon Brown of Just One Lap, welcome to the show. Not a good day on the markets, but it's probably part of the volatility story.
Good afternoon, Ryk. I think it is. And I mean, listen to the numbers you're reading there. It's as you say, resources under significant pressure. And they've run, they've had a good period. The index has done incredibly well for the year. The rand is still much weaker than it was in January, but certainly pulling back a bit. And then Naspers under pressure, which is obviously hurting. It's fairly dominant. That hurts our top 40 all-share index as well as the ND25 index, where it's, I think, almost a third of that ND25.
But Naspers, of course, is under pressure because Tencent is under pressure. The 52-week high was 4,143 rand, currently at 3,048. And pushing the 3,000 level quite aggressively. What do you think the prospects are?
So for much of this year, Naspers at around that 3,000 level, so at current levels we see now, it's been a nice opportunity. The trick is, as you point out, we've got to follow it through into Tencent. Tencent being under massive pressure, well off all-time highs as well. They have announced a share buyback to try and prop up the stock. That helps, but they've got some issues in China with new game releases, and we're not sure if this is just a sort of bump in the road for Tencent. And the issue is that, again, that they might release worldwide. To release in China, they've got to get authority for it. They've got to oftentimes dial back the violence and the imagery and the like. And if it's just a small bump, there's just a process. Maybe someone in the authority took a holiday or something. That's fine. If it becomes a bigger problem and China's really clamping down on this, this does, China's a key market for Tencent, particularly in the game space. I mean, mean, in their WeChat and the like, China is the market. You know, that WeChat's hardly used beyond those borders. For folks who've been looking at NASPAS, this might be an opportunity, but I would tread carefully, because if it starts to trade below 3,000 then and Tencent continues to fall, we could see NASPAS coming back a fair chunk.
Now, the 52-week low, 2,680 Rand. So it's in the bottom third, but the share's down around 15% since the beginning of the year. So an interesting development there. Would you maybe, if you have money offshore, rather buy Tencent than locally buy NASPAS?
So the benefit of NASPAS is that you get a still fairly significant discount to Tencent. It's around the mid 30%, so it's evened out to as much as 40% at times. And then you get the rump of NASPAS pretty much for free. Some of it DStv, we understand the challenges of DStv, but they're still a huge cash cow for the group. Media24, and then all of their European assets, OLX and others. So what we do see is you can buy a Tencent in Hong Kong, there's an ADR in New York, and then of course NASPAS in Johannesburg. A lot of traders like that to buy it in Johannesburg simply because of the discount.
Yeah. Then interesting transaction, Advitech. The private education group secured a managing control of Monash South Africa, of course the Australian supported university. They've got a big campus on the West Rand. Shows you the push into private education continues.
It absolutely does, particularly into the tertiary space. You know, now there's some pros and cons to it. You know, your schooling you've got to do in schools. Tertiary you could do online, but there's still a move towards people want those, you know, physical to sit in a classroom with the lecturer. And we know the challenges around the state-owned universities and their capacity. Certainly there is huge demand for it. What we also see in Monash is some engineering degrees, some public sector, public health degrees, which is typically not done outside of the traditional state-owned universities. So a great university, a great asset, a chunky price. I mean, they're buying it at around almost 40 times earnings. Now, you know, my immediate response is, make no mistake, is that Monash probably phoned Stadio and Advitech and said, so there was a bit of a bidding war, so certainly they paid up. That said, it's a high earnings multiple, but you can certainly see some good synergies coming through from it within the other groups within the Advitech stable. It helps them with their distance online, distance learning as well. So time will tell. It's within their affordability. They've got it. They've got a balance sheet that can take the debt. They're not overly stretched on debt. So it's a great acquisition. The price worries me a little bit. And I'm an Advitech shareholder, and I'm not running for the hills. We'll see how it goes in time. But it does expand their offering very, very nicely.
Well, in the depressed market we see today, the share has gained around 0.14%, which is pretty flat, although the share is still down around 14% since the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it has been a stock under pressure. They had results out last week or the week before, particularly pressure coming through in parts of their schooling division. We've seen that as well in the lower income, the Meridian schools at Kiro. And they've got a sort of slightly higher price point than the Meridian has. So, you know, you want your children to have the best education possible. But if you simply can't afford it, it's just that situation. They've also reported people immigrating, leaving the country. And a kid will often go through sort of 5 years of schooling at a school, and if they exit in sort of grade 10 or 11, it's hard to fill that space. There's not much, you know, parents try and stay within a geographic location for a child's, certainly their high schooling education. But still a great sector, still private education in this country well below sort of global averages in terms of numbers. Obviously, a booming economy would make it a heck lot easier, but no one's holding their breath for a booming economy just yet.
No, definitely not in the near term. Then I must admit, I'm not the biggest fan of commodities, especially not commodity mines. But Anglo's subsidiary De Beers is one of the interesting ones. I like diamonds and I think it's tangible. But it's also reporting some headwinds. You know, I don't know the lingo of the De Beers or the diamond market, but they reported that the sales are down for their seventh cycle. And it's the lowest since 2016. And that's interesting because obviously the bulk of the sales takes place outside South Africa.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of those sales are not happening within. They do what they call sites. They do a number a year. They have been, back to 2016 numbers, 2 year low, but they have had a couple of record sales over the last couple of years in terms of carats and in terms of price per carat and quality going through. And there's always a couple of issues at play here. One is that diamonds are bought by the dealers, and then if they can't push them through the system, then you get a bit of a backlog, and then they're going to be wanting to buy less. But we've seen results out from Tiffany's. We've seen the Richemont update yesterday. And Richemont update, we've got to remove the new online business, which gave you a high single digit. Not bad. Not shooting the lights out, but not bad numbers. Tiffany's had decent numbers for their jewelry division. So it was a bit of a surprise. I know the De Beers has said they're going to move into synthetic diamonds, but that really is for industry. That's not to put in a ring and marry somebody with. So you know, the hope for Angler, the hope for De Beers is that this is a sort of a one-off, and then that maybe not back to the highs that they saw of 2017 and early 2018, but a sort of at least a trend which is higher, and this isn't the beginning of a downward slope. It shouldn't be. I mean, globally, you know, our economy is in the doldrums, and we're being polite here. The global economy is certainly looking better. You know, Asia is doing fine. US is doing great. Europe is muddling along, but it's doing okay. There should be better demand for diamonds and high-end jewelry.
Yeah, and it's the most synchronized international or world growth we've seen in a long time, and hopefully South Africa can catch on a bit. But I've left the worst for last, and this is the crime stats that were announced this morning, and they are, in my view, absolutely shocking. Murders, 52 a day. Attempted murders, also more than 50. Rape, 110. That's two people an hour. Hijackings, so also nearly two an hour. What do you make of this?
They're horrific. And I saw on Twitter that Beckett Gale is saying that, you know, we're not a war zone and the like. And okay, but it's close. I mean, yeah, the positive spin is those numbers are almost half what they were 20 years ago. But they bottomed off at if you look at per 100,000 in 2011, 2012, and have been creeping higher. I think it you know, aside from just the horror of crime, particularly violent and sexual crime, it's a symptom of do we have enough police officers? We have a very bloated civil service, and in fact, there's been reports that President Ramaphosa wants to cut 30,000 jobs. But that bloating, you know, if it's happening in the police stations, it's happening at higher brass level. We need more police on the ground. We need more skilled police in particularly in violent crime, gang crime. The other part that really stood out to me is that if you divide it up into where's it's happening, it's very located. And you know, whilst this is the crime stat for South Africa, if you break it down to sort of smaller communities, and we're talking a street or two, but you know, it's suburbs and the like, you're going to find areas which have markedly lower crime because there's such high prevalence, particularly the Cape Flats, which is really, really, Cape Flats, maybe the country isn't a war zone, but it would appear that maybe the Cape Flats is a war zone.
Yeah, Helen Ziller tweeted and she said that these stats prove that there are war zones and the army needs to be deployed to calm situations down, and that may be a solution.
Yeah, I mean, Simon Sitkele was very into that. The trick with the army is that their skill set, and we can debate around the levels of training in both police and army. Army skill set is literally to shoot first and ask questions later. Police needs to be a much more softer touch / investigative process. And that's one of the debates against sending an army in. But you know, the levels of murder and sexual crimes happening in the Cape Flats suggests that, if nothing else, the police simply aren't in control of the situation, and there needs to be a plan B. And part of that plan B is it should be on the table that at some level, perhaps the army is needed.
Well, certainly we are not in a war zone, so why not retrain the army and just stabilize the situation?
Well, another point, it's a great point. Why do we have an army? I mean, we once invaded Lesotho, you're old enough to remember this, and we lost. Truthfully, who's invading us? What, you know, we really need a very, very small standing sort of ceremonial army, and perhaps there is a thing that says, let's actually retrain them and use them in civil purpose.
Yeah, we have submarines and some frigates and stuff we really need. Anyway, thank you so much. That was Simon Brown from Just One Lap.